The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the five big lies about Jesus, and we'll talk about an accurate picture of Yahushua. So, the overview of today's program. I fairly regularly encounter people who disagree with me regarding Jesus, such that I concluded that there was a need for a blunt article that addresses the harsh reality of the lies relating to Jesus. This broadcast presents this argument. We will start by looking at lie number one, the name Jesus, then lie number two, Christ means Jesus, followed by lie number three, Jesus is the Lord, and lie number four, Jesus is God, culminating in lie five, Jesus is the Word of God. We will then note that Yeshua earned a great reward and is mightily powerful. We will then stress that Bible translations are inexact and not reliable for doctrine. Finally, we will speak about an accurate artist's depiction of Yeshua in heaven. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. We're going to look at now 2022, 10:08, the five big lies about Jesus. I fairly regularly encounter people who disagree with me regarding Jesus. In response to my recent article 2022:10:07, The Spirit of You Are Not Jesus Indwells Anointed Believers, I read the following from LB, a retired army chaplain who had a dramatic conversion experience with Yeshua many years ago. And he said, quote, "If Jesus does not indwell you, then the devil indwells one," Chaplain B. I responded, and there was an exchange, but we got nowhere. In considering my response to LB, I concluded that it was a need for a blunt article that addresses the harsh reality of the lies relating to Jesus, hence this article. Folks, I am acutely aware of the fact that many people had dramatic experiences in the days before Satan was sent to the pit in 2003, where they attributed those experiences to Jesus, when in fact they were actually the working of Father Yah. But because of wrong teaching and wrong thinking in those days, these things were attributed to Jesus. They were not from Jesus, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, but I really ask you, if you're dogmatically attached to Jesus and the things we're going to talk about now, just let go and open your mind to the possibility that there are things that you don't know, and be willing to learn. Really ask you to do that. In considering my response to LB, I concluded there was a need for, I've said that before. So, folks, if you are dogmatic that his name is Jesus, or that he is God, or the Lord, or whatever, please pay attention to what I'm going to share with you now. Please open your mind to the possibility that things have moved on, the things that were acceptable 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago are no longer acceptable, and that just possibly you need to recalibrate your thinking about Jesus, about the Lord, about God, and so forth. I talk frequently about many of the things I'm going to talk about in a minute, and it just never ceases to surprise me that people who've been on the mailing list for years still don't take on board what I share. I mean, it's your prerogative to discount or disagree with or disregard what I teach, but I really believe that what I'm teaching is fairly authoritative. It's a lot of fasting, a lot of prayer, a lot of seeking, a lot of worship gone into the knowledge that I share with you. I don't say these things lightly. I'm acutely aware that I will face judgment and a harsher judgment as a teacher. So I really do make a real effort to make sure that what I'm sharing with you is correct. So please don't just lightly dismiss it. Do your own program of fasts and seek truth. There's a webpage on the website, what to do if you don't agree with me. So if you don't agree with me, read that, do everything that's on that. So in contemplating my response to LB, I concluded that there are five major lies about Jesus that need to be addressed. They're number one, the name Jesus. Number two, the belief that Christ means Jesus. Number three, the belief that Jesus is the Lord, Lord in capital letters. Number four, the lie that Jesus is God. And number five, the lie that Jesus is the Word of God. And these are all discussed in what follows. I really ask you, if you believe his name is Jesus, that Christ is synonymous with Jesus, that Jesus is also the Lord, and that therefore Jesus is God, and that Jesus is the Word of God, please listen attentively to what I have to say in the next half hour. All of those things are lies. That means that if you believe them and you don't stop believing them, when you die, you will face judgment. You will find time in hell to pay the price of your sin of believing and speaking out and writing and propagating lies. You don't want to die with lies in your heart. You want to die with truth. You want to die in truth. And to the extent that you believe any of the lies that I've just read out, I encourage you to listen attentively to what I'm going to say in the next few minutes and to course correct. So, lie number one, the name Jesus. The problem starts with the widespread belief that the name of the emissary and spokesman of Nazareth, apostle and prophet of Nazareth, who died a terrible death to provide a new way for forgiveness of sin, was Jesus. In considering what follows, it is vital to recognize that the true name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth is Yah, the eternally self-existing. See the web page, Yah's name, Yah, the eternally self-existing, and Yah 7,000 times in the Bible, why not used? The man commonly called Jesus was a Hebrew and a Jew, a Yehudite. See Matthew 1 in the Bible, specifically Matthew 1:1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's the King James Bible. Note specifically Genesis 14:13, Abram the Hebrew. This is really important. His name has to have been a Hebrew name. Jesus or Iesus is not a Hebrew name. It's a Greek name. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But I really ask you to consider that there's no basis to believe that his name could be Jesus. There was a lot of ignorance. There was a lot of persecution 500, 600, 700 years ago. And so Father extended grace for the name of Jesus, but that grace had to be withdrawn before Satan could be charged with his crimes against humanity and sent to the pit. So accordingly, the name of this man could not have been Jesus, which is an anglicization derived from the Greek Iesus, which means blessed of Zeus. See the web page, Yeshua, not Jesus. Following prayer and fasting, it turns out that the name of this man is Yahushua. That's Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, Yahushua. See the webpage Essence of Messagery, Yahushua Jesus, and also the webpage under more the Bible, More About the Bible, Name Yah in the Book, and other references under the Yahushua webpage. This name, which occurs repeatedly in the so-called Old Testament as Joshua, which is also an inaccurate translation, means Yah is salvation. So the first lie is that the name of this man is Jesus, when in fact it is Yahushua. Note that this name points to the Creator Yah as the source of salvation, not Jesus. Further, it is clear that since this man's name is Yahushua, he is clearly not Yah. Yah is the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth. Yeshua is a created being, 100% man. So, number of facets here. There's a lot of confusion. Some people say it's Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, which means salvation. It's not a name, it's a technical term. Yahushua means Yah is salvation. It speaks to what Yahushua came to do, to bring a new way of salvation to the people of Yah. And it's really, really important that one goes back to the basics and make sure one understands what's really going on here, because there is a huge amount of confusion. Note that the creative miracle whereby the man Yeshua came into existence, refer Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, or the Son of Yah. This was a creative miracle whereby the Spirit of the Almighty Creator caused an ovum in the fallopian tubes of Miriam, or Mary, to become fertilized. This was much less of a miracle than the miracle with regard to the creation of Adam from the dust of the earth. So see Genesis 2:7. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty, the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And less of a miracle than the creation of Chava, Eve, from the rib of Adam, Genesis 2:22, and the rib which Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty, the Lord God, had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. It is therefore vital to understand that there is no divinity with regard to Yeshua, Jesus. The divinity relates to the Spirit of Yah on Yeshua. So line number one is debunked. His name is not Jesus, it is Yahushua. There's so many false beliefs and false teachings about the matters of the Almighty. If you haven't realized that, I encourage you to visit the website and just see how much there is there that is contrary to what the church is teaching. I'm not here to beat up the church. The church is not serving Father. It's in serious error. I'm concerned about you and where you're going to end up at the end of your life. Then line number two, Christ means Jesus. The second lie is that Christ is another name for Jesus and the two names are effectively synonymous. It is almost universal practice in Christianity that the name Christ is used to refer to Jesus interchangeably, and that all Bible references to Christ are to Jesus. This is analyzed in some detail in the article 2022:1007, the Spirit of Yah, not Jesus, indwells anointed believers. Specifically, Christ means anointed with the Spirit of Yah. The impartation of a portion of the set apart Holy Spirit of Yah into the body of a believer. Set apart means the portion of Yah's Spirit reserved for believers as distinct from the universal Spirit of Yah referenced in Acts 17:28, which states, for in him we live and move and have our being. So there's the universal Spirit of Yah that holds this entire universe together, holds the planet together, holds us all together. And then there is a portion of Yah's Spirit, a very special portion, that is set apart, incorrectly translated holy. It's set apart. It's a portion of Yah that he gives to each one of us when we become a believer. If you're a believer, you received a betrothal portion of the Spirit of Yah. If you prayed for infilling with the Spirit of Yah, then you got a full measure of the set-apart Spirit in you. And the stronger the set-apart Spirit in you, the more you can do miracles, the more Yah can speak through you, etc. Point number B, Jesus Christ is correctly translated as Yeshua anointed with the set-apart Spirit of Yah, or Yeshua the Anointed One. Christ Jesus is correctly the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Christ on its own is correctly the Anointed One, which can refer to any Anointed One, including you if you're a Spirit-filled believer. And Christ can also mean the anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah as a simple technical reference. So there are five uses of the word Christ, which are very distinct. They have very distinct meanings. They all relate to the anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah, whether it's on Yeshua, whether it's on you, whether it's on me. They do not refer to Jesus. Let's look at it again. Christ means anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Jesus Christ means Yeshua, anointed with the set-apart Spirit of Yah. Christ Jesus is the anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Christ on its own is the anointed one, if you're a and can be used to refer to you if you're a Spirit-filled believer. Christ can also mean anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah as a simple technical reference. So I'm a Spirit-filled believer, so that makes me James Christ. Christos, Christoon, in Hebrew, Meshach. There are about five different Greek words, all translated Christ, all of which have their own context and all nuances of meaning which relate to the things that I've just shared with you. But there is this ongoing inexactness in the translations of the book called the Bible. And incidentally, Bible is just a translation of a Greek word, biblios, which means book. So Bible's another one of these meaningless religious terms. Of all the items I've just read out to you, only the last one, D, is sometimes synonymous with Yeshua, although this is commonly the case in the so-called New Testament. More widely, D applies to all believers who've been anointed with the Spirit of the Creator. In other words, who are Spirit-filled in terms of modern nomenclature. This includes you. If you are Spirit-filled, it includes me. This confusion with regard to Christ is a big reason behind the mistaken belief that Yeshua is the Almighty in the flesh. Fundamentally, Christ always refers to the Creator. Only in the case of D above is Christ sometimes equal to Yeshua, Jesus, in the context of the Spirit of Yah. So line number two is debunked. Christ is not synonymous with Jesus, nor with Yahushua. I hope if you haven't realized this before, if you've read or listened to my teachings in the past, you are increasingly coming to understand how inaccurate translation has given rise to absolutely intense, serious, destructive wrong thinking, wrong teaching, wrong doctrine. And it's a moot point as to what came first. Did bad doctrine result in bad translation, or did bad translation result in bad doctrine? Was it a little bit of each? I'm not sure. My impression is that bad doctrine gave rise to bad translation. In other words, the people who translated the Bible originally did so within the framework of incorrect doctrines. Line number three, Jesus is the Lord, Lord in capital letters. Throughout the Old Testament, the name of the Almighty Creator is rendered as the Lord, Lord in capital letters in many translations. This occurs around 7,000 times in the Bible. See the article, Yah, 7,000 times in the Bible, why not used? This is a translation of the Hebrew phrase Yahweh, YHWH. The common translation of this is Yahweh, YAHWEH, although it is more accurately rendered as Yahweh, YAHOOEH. Accurately translated, this phrase actually means Yah, the eternally self-existing. Thus, we have an almost universal misconception that the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth is the Lord. And then in the New Testament, we constantly find Jesus referred to as the Lord and Lord in lowercase. And many people make the logical projection that this is the same Lord as the Old Testament and that Jesus is therefore the Lord, capital letters, and therefore the Creator in the flesh. I hope you're sort of getting the picture here. The Lord is a meaningless and inaccurate translation of Yah, the eternally self-existing in the Old Testament, and it's in almost an error that's in almost universal occurrence in just about every Bible translation. And then you get Jesus repeatedly referred to as Lord, the Lord, in the New Testament. And then it's not a difficult thing to say, Lord, the Lord occurs all through the Old Testament. Jesus is called the Lord all the way through the New Testament. So Jesus is the Lord equals God equals Yah, the eternally self-existing. It's incorrect. The Lord is an invalid and meaningless religious term, and it should be avoided. Note also that the Lord is an accurate translation of Baal, a demonic idol in the Old Testament, which is left untranslated in most Christian Bibles. So the Lord is a blasphemous demonic name and should be avoided at all times. So line number three is debunked. Jesus is not the Lord. Yeshua is not Yah, the eternally self-existing. So once more we see errors of translation. Names cannot be translated. The name of the Almighty Creator is Yah. It occurs in at least 100 different Hebrew names in the Old Testament. And it's explicit in the Hebrew. But it's been translated as Joshua, for example, in the case of Yahushua, Jonathan, John, Mary, all sorts of names that contain Yah are translated in a way that Yah is completely ignored, completely left out of the picture. It's a huge amount of error in translation. This is why you should read as many translations as possible, including the rather obscure ones that are now available, and that you shouldn't spend too much time reading the Bible at all. It's a useful history book. Read it like a useful history book. There are a few passages that are inspired. By all means, pay a bit more attention to that. So Proverbs, Psalms, or Proverbs more than Psalms, a few of the epistles, other bits and pieces. But most of the Bible is just history book. Then line number four, Jesus is God. An extension of the previous points is that it is widely held that Jesus is God, where God is an inaccurate translation of the Hebrew Elohim, which means variously mighty one or almighty, depending on context, when applied to the Creator, and mighty one, lowercase, when applied to humans, satanic messengers or angels and demons. So Satan is a mighty one. Baal is a mighty one. A powerful, spirit-filled believer is a mighty one. That does not make them God. Does not make Satan God. He's the God of this world. Does not make Yeshua God. This is so important. If you go through life believing that Jesus is God, you're going to sin grievously. You're going to have a nasty judgment when you die, assuming, of course, you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, it really doesn't matter what you believe about this. Fathers, I'm sorry, if you're an unbeliever, Father doesn't really give a hoot what you do. You're not one of his people. You're serving Satan. You're never going to get to heaven. So why should Father care about you? It's human beings who worry about other human beings getting saved. So there you have it. Jesus is not God. Jesus is 100% human. Yeshua is 100% human. And we'll discuss that next week when we look at the nine most important facts about Yeshua. Last week I spoke about the spirit of Yeshua. It's the spirit of Yah that indwells people, not the spirit of Jesus. In line number five, Jesus is the Word of God. The final lie is that Jesus is the Word of God and in some mysterious way is the Bible. Coupled with the lie that the Bible is the Word of God and without error, this also ascribes meaningless and false attributes to Jesus. Fundamentally, critical examination of the Bible would reveal that it does contain errors and that the vast majority of the text is simply historical accounts of things that happened. There's absolutely no need for these passages to have some supernatural origin. See the article Essence of Message Regarding the Bible and the page The Bible. Folks, Jesus is the Word of God is based on some tenuous, incorrect translations, inaccurate translations. It's just not true. The Bible is just a book. It's just paper with type on it. It's not something mysterious or miraculous. Putting your hands in the Bible to swear, what does that mean? Yeshua was a man when he walked the earth. He is still a man in heaven. He is the most powerful man in heaven. He will always be the most powerful man in heaven because he was the first man to live a life without sinning once. That is the miracle of Yeshua, that he managed to live life on earth for 33 and a half years and he did not sin once. So going back to Jesus is not the Word of God. This comes from John 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made, anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is extended to Jesus, and it is concluded that Jesus is the Word of God. Inspection of John 1:1 in the Interlinear Bible. Look at BibleHub.com, Interlinear John 1.1-1 HTM. Indicates that the common English translations are filtered through the preconceived doctrinal filters, and there is no basis to infer that Jesus is God or the Word of God. The Almighty God spoke, Almighty, in other words, God spoke, and it came to pass. It's nothing to do with Yeshua. Although Yeshua may have acted as a sent one to execute the instruction. So when it says the Word was with God, the thing you need to really get a hold of here, folks, is that these translations are very approximate. I've not gone into this in detail here, but there are other articles that go into fine detail. You can go for yourself. The Bible Hub website is good. There are other interlinear sites with interlinear Bibles, etc. Go and have a look at what the Hebrew actually says and drill down into Strong's Concordance or one of the other major concordances and see just how much you find the words on which whole doctrine is built are translated into 5, 10, 15, 20 different words in English to suit whatever the context is of the translation. And then we build doctrines like this Word of God thing. Further prayerful research reveals that at the commencement of creation, the Almighty created a powerful spirit being to help him with the creation process. This being was at Yah's right hand and was effectively his chief operating officer or executive assistant throughout creation. After Satan was banished from heaven and Yah was looking for a way to defeat Satan, the spirit being offered to come to earth and live the life that was ultimately fulfilled by Yeshua. See the essence of my message, History of Our World Today, for a more detailed discussion. The bottom line is that the spirit who came to earth as Yeshua had been with Yah from the beginning and knew exactly what was required of him and what was required to defeat Satan. That does not make Jesus God, let alone the Word of God. He simply fulfilled the commands, the words of Yah. So the being Yeshua is a very special person, but that does not make him Yah. So Life 5 is debunked. Yeshua is not in some mysterious way the Word of God. The whole picture is very, very sensible, very, very practical, and very capable of being understood. That essence of my message, the history of our world today, is a useful compilation of key elements of history prior to the time of man on earth, the creation of human beings. And I encourage you to go and read that article. The whole picture that is painted on the website is very practical. It makes very good sense if you set aside your religious preconditions and preconceived notions and just open your mind to what makes sense. So then just to continue, I've gone through the five great lies. I want to then comment on the fact that Yeshua earned a great reward and is mightily powerful. None of the above detracts from the reality that Yeshua lived an exceptional life free of any sin, and as a consequence received a huge reward in terms of power, glory, and authority. So it is true that some people who have met Yeshua have seen him as gloriously powerful. See the references above with regard to Yeshua, and specifically the essence of my message regarding Yeshua Jesus. None of this makes Yeshua equal to Yah, let alone Yah in the flesh. Remember that it was the Spirit of Yah on and in Yeshua that performed the miracles, and that same anointing is available to you today. John 14:12. Yeshua speaking says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, this thing that believeth on me believes in Jesus, Yeshua. Note that the word translated on, which is Strong's number 1519, occurs throughout the New Testament with 1,774 occurrences, including about one. So it is translated as about one, as against 18 times, as among 10, become five, before two, before one, benefit one, bestowed one, beyond two, bring about one, bring one, continually one, eliminated two, into even one, ever two, forever one, forward three, leading two, leads one, mine one, never one, next one, onto two, over one, perpetually one, reference two, regard three, relation one, respect two, result three, resulted two, resulting ten, sake one, so 34, throughout 3, toward 23, until 4, view 3, and why 4. That is one word on which a whole body of doctrine is built, and it's completely, totally meaningless. The translators have had a field day with that Hebrew, with that Greek word. Strong's 1519. To build any sort of doctrine on that verse, that Jesus is God, is completely and utterly foolish. There is no way that this can be constructed as saying belief in Jesus. We're commanded, believe only in Yah. Don't suspend your intellect to believe in irrational motivations. My next point. Bible translations are inexact and they are not reliable for doctrine. From the above, I hope you will realize that Bible translations are inexact and they're not reliable for doctrine. There are numerous varied Greek and Hebrew words translated with the same English word. There are numerous instances as cited above where the commonly occurring English is downright unreliable. The answer is to turn to the Creator in all things, fast and pray, spend hours on your knees or your face before Father daily, worship for hours daily, do everything you can to come to a place where you can see, hear him clearly. See the article on seven components of drawing close on the website for more information. Folks, the Bible is a useful reference book. That's where it stops. It is full of the sort of textual errors that I've just highlighted. Be alert, be sensitive, be careful. In conclusion, I hope that this has clarified the situation with regard to who Yeshua is and who he is not. I hope you've been able to see that those five commonly occurring core beliefs about Yeshua, about Jesus, are fundamentally false. They're just downright wrong. I understand that that may be shocking to you. I understand that you may have got 50 years experience believing in Jesus, believing that Jesus is God. That doesn't alter the fact that it's false. You may have had all sorts of supernatural experiences. That speaks to the grace of Father to meet you where you were. It doesn't mean that you should stay there. it means that you should move forward, that you should get closer to Father. And in getting closer to Father, you should seek truth and you should let go of those five lies. I hope that's making some sort of sense to you. Please feel free. Drop me an email. I'll give you the email address in a moment. And we can get on Zoom. We can talk about it. We can exchange emails. I can point you at other articles which will elaborate and clarify. If you really want to get close to Father, you need to stop believing that Jesus is God. You need to stop believing that His name is Jesus. You need to stop believing that Christ means Jesus. You need to stop believing that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the Word of God. And I just want to touch on another article that's on the website, 2021-0601, Picture of Yeshua Seen by Colton Burpo, based on A Visit to Heaven. Some time ago, I watched the YouTube video, Heaven is for Real, interview with Todd and Colton Burpo, which reports a near-death experience in which Colton Burpo, at the age of four, died and was taken to heaven and spent time with Yeshua before being returned to life. It's a powerful account. Subsequently, he saw a painting of Yeshua, which he recognized as exactly accurate of what he'd seen in heaven. The extract of the video containing this image with the context is available to download on the webpage, Picture of Yeshua. There's also an extract of the video on Dropbox. The full video is available on YouTube, and there's a link to that also on the page, Picture of Yeshua. It's vital to recognize that Yeshua is the greatest created being in the universe. See the essence of my message, Yeshua Jesus. He's not the creator in the flesh. It was the spirit of the creator in and on Yeshua that performed the miracles and spoke through Yeshua. So it's very difficult to describe the picture of Yeshua. I really encourage you to go to the website and have a look at the picture. It's quite striking. He's Caucasian. He's got olive skin. He's got brown hair. I can't remember the color of his eyes offhand, but they're quite striking. And he has a limited beard. He's quite a handsome individual. Nothing massively stand out about him. But it's better to have some sort of a feel for what he looks like, seeing as how it's possible. So I want to end up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. I really ask you to consider, why are we here? One train of thought says that we are the outworking of an infinite number of random, spasmodic, self-evolutionary, progressive steps. That somehow this universe, this solar system, sun, planet Earth, the plants, the animals, with their great precision, their great beauty, the beautiful tastes of the fruits and so forth, the textures, the flowers, all of this just somehow randomly happened. It infers a level of intelligence in this random thing, which is just mind-bogglingly stupid. There has to have been an engineering brain to create all this. There's an article on the website, The Essence of My Message, regarding creation. Please read it if you don't believe that there's a creator. Some key documents in a video on the main menu of the website. Video, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. The essence of my message to Christians, also for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about at least four podcast websites where you'll get all the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel, prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all along the top of the menu. There's over 1,000 web pages, 2,500 articles, answers to a lot of your questions. I encourage you to go and really spend time on the website. And then contact me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone, so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I want to close by saying to you, Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, wants you to become his friend. He doesn't mind whether you are black or white or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're African or Asian or European or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're short or tall, thin or fat, educated or uneducated, rich or poor. He wants you to become his friend. He wants you to make a decision to become his friend. He wants you to fast and pray to become his friend. He wants you to study to become his friend. He wants you to worship to become his friend. There's a whole lot of information on the website as to how you go about becoming a friend of the Creator. And I urge you, don't delay. Make a decision right now to accept the challenge to become a friend of the Creator. Drop me an email. I would be delighted to hear from you. I'd be delighted to help you on your journey. That's what I'm here for. That's my passion. Thank you so much. Good night. Bye.